Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Mitch, this is your co-host, Terry Wonder, calling in.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Welcome to It's Your Gavel as I get the studio set up here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitch.
Let me turn this down a little bit. And good morning. We have one caller on the line here. Good morning.
Good morning. It's your co-host, Terry Wonder.
Hi, Terry. Hold on. All right, can you talk again?
Yeah, I can talk again. This is your co-host, Terry Wonder. And this may very
here.
Well
this,
be a very, very intriguing morning
right.
down at the county commission. Yes? I'm here,
all right.
Mitch.
Well, good. Okay, good, good. I can hear you through one thing, but not through the other. And I hope you're broadcasting, actually.
Yeah, I hope so, too. It's going to be a very, very interesting morning down at the commission, I think. If I'm looking at the news article and the Facebook commentary that is below it. And would you mind if I just gave a little synopsis of what's going on?
No, please, please. That's what we're
okay.
here for.
We've got a lot of angry citizens in Manatee County. In fact, the county keeps acquiring them more and more. And I know this is a national radio, but I hope you national listeners will appreciate
Terry,
this
I just
because
wanna,
I happen
I just
to believe
wanna,
that what's
I want to interrupt you for one second here.
The county is happening in places all over the country, so it'd be nice to get people from other areas of the country to call in and share what may be happening in their neck of the woods. So we've got angry citizens, and what they were going to do today, and I hope they do this, they want to filibuster at the county commission this morning, and I'm sure the prayer and the pledge have been finished now because it's going on 10 minutes after 9, and they're pretty punctual down there. But there's a group of citizens that were denied all kinds of things last week out east. It was a land development project, and so they're planning on showing up and protesting. And here's just one comment. This is made by John Ward on January 11th. We the people will be back to their chambers on 1/12/15. We have a few things to say, inclusive of starting a criminal inquiry. These idiots are going to listen whether they like it or not. I'm not going to be the largest PIA they ever felt. I'm coming, so please fasten your seatbelts. And what they're objecting to is the commissioners
Terry, you,
just always making these projects.
Can I interject here real quick?
Terry.
Yeah.
All right.
I would just for technical reasons.
I'm going to count.
You know,
tell me what
here.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
What was the last number you heard?
5.
Okay, terrific. You can hear me now, right?
Yeah, I can hear you. I've been hearing you all along.
All right, I'm going to ask somebody out there to call in and tell me if you, who's listening over at 1490, if you can call in at 941-745-1490 and just tell me if you can hear Terry, because there's something going on. Oh, wait a second. Here we go. All right, Terry, go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, I got it fixed. You don't have to call if you don't want to for that reason. All right, good. All right.
Excellent. Yes. According to the Post, citizens are going to show up at county chambers today and filibuster and just protest all the lying and disrespect and political disenfranchisement that's been taking place, especially regarding land use decisions in Manatee County. And we have one of the prettiest counties. We have a lot of undeveloped space, unlike farther south in southeast Florida and up in Pinellas. We have just beautiful undeveloped space, but it just seems like our commissioners are just determined to turn Manatee County into another Miami-Dade and just pave over all of our wetlands and ruin our quality of life. So some people were planning on showing up today and protesting and giving the commissioners their 2 cents worth. I hope it happens, and I hope some of them call in, too.
Well, that's good, Terry. We're expecting some calls from them. You may want to text them this phone number. And if you listen, whether it's over at Blog Talk Radio or you listen on 1490 AM, our normal call-in number is 941-745-1490. But the preferred number for you to call, and you will not get a busy signal, is 347-989-0132. That is our national call-in line. That's 347-989-0132. We will answer the 941-745-1490 if you just know the station's call-in number but don't have the ability to write this down. So anyway, but 347-989-0132. And Terry, we're expecting some live callers from the county commission this morning. And if you want to text them that number.
Yeah, they have it.
They have it?
Oh, yeah, they have the number.
Okay. Well, we'll just wait. We don't know what's going on. It's about 9:13 a.m. right now. And I guess they have to do the Pledge of Allegiance and everything else, and they just may be waiting. And while we're waiting for the county commission, I would just like to say a couple things of what happened in Paris. And I think it happened, a week ago Wednesday. And this morning when I left, there were some ceremonies taking place live at the Jewish deli, where four French citizens and four Jewish patrons of the deli. And hold on a second, caller, before we get to you, they were killed. So there's some ceremonies there. Because it was a tragedy, and apparently there was at least two cells operating, and while the people at the magazine Charlie lost, I think, 11 lives, and that magazine's moving forward, and what they normally publish is 60,000 copies. Their new issue is going to publish 3 million copies, and then in the deli. And there's, I had to leave my house to get to the radio station while that ceremony was going on. But it was moving. And being a Jew myself, been to Israel 5 times, been active in the Jewish community. And my 5 times to Israel, one was I went to a year of graduate school in Israel studying Israel, the language, the Middle East, the political, the geographic, the economic, the military composition of the whole Middle East. That's what I studied when I was there, as well as coming back in 1987 and 92 as a delegate to the World Zionist Congress with the Arts Association Reform Zionists of America. My heart goes out, and Netanyahu. Hold on a second, caller. In the
prime, Mitch.
Yes.
I already called. This is Dennis. I called, and I got cut off. But as far as radio reception, you're only like 3 words out of every 3 sentences coming across. You're getting cut off.
Yeah. I heard that coming in this morning. I did hear that this morning. I told the previous host that, and I hope Valerie's listening, because I don't think she is, because if she was, she would do something to correct it. And I'm looking at the board. I don't see anything wrong.
I really wanted to hear your show, but you're just, like I said, I hear 3 words out of probably 3 sentences for the last 10 minutes.
Well, that's not good.
Plus, when you put me on hold, I got cut off. There's some electrical problem somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna call Valerie on my cell phone.
Yeah. See, right now I heard you say cell phone, and then you got cut off.
Yeah, now people listening, if you go to itsyourgavel.com, you can go there and you can listen over the internet. You can call 347-989-0132 and if you don't hit the one button, you're in listen mode, and that is streaming through a different technology, and hopefully it's bypassing this breakup.
All right. Well, Mitch, I got to go.
All right. Hey, I appreciate that, Dennis.
This is the guy that tried to volunteer for you at the Democrats' office.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Keep up the good work. I hope I can – I haven't heard you in years, you know, other than last week. Really want to hear you.
Yep, there's definitely something wrong here. And
okay, Mitch, I'm low on minutes. I got to go.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was nice of him to call in.
All right, well, Terry, yeah, that was good. And Terry, when you talk, and I'm going to call Valerie on my cell phone right now.
All right, I'll keep things going. I hope everyone can hear at least some things. Anyway, I want to go back to the commission and talk a little bit more about what's happening here locally, because I do think it's a microcosm of problems in other places in the country. And just to give everybody a flavor of what's at stake here, I'm just going to quote an article that was published in the Bradenton Times on January 10th. This is an editorial by one of their investigative reporters, John Rehill. He covers all the commission politics and all the hearings that take place in our county on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Here's the lead statement. Just when you thought it was safe to petition your elected officials in an effort to protect your property and quality of life, reality strikes and your concerns are reduced to no more than an obstacle that stands in the way of the rubber stamp process of big development. The clock is ticking and you've got only 3 minutes to get out of their way. Welcome to life in Manatee County. And then he just details the litany of abuses and the disrespect for citizens that's been taking place in this county forever. But especially over the past two election cycles, approximately 8 years, because what's happening here is Citizens United has affected local government. We think of Citizens United in terms of, you know, federal and state level political elections, but the reality is that it's affecting local government too. That Supreme Court ruling is allowing just a handful of developers and hospital corporations and phosphate mining interests in our county to buy their pay-to-play politicians into office and then keep them there. And it's really corrosive. And frankly, for those of you who may not be aware of this, there's more impact on your life at the local level in terms of the top-down decision-making than at these other levels. These commissioners have so much power to approve a project. The destruction of wetlands in Manatee County and all over Florida starts with local-level decision-making. The changes in precincts in Manatee County that happened last year, where we had 30% of our precincts just abolished, happened as a result of a local-level decision, not a state-level decision, not a federal-level decision. And so, you know, we've got to start grooming candidates at the local level and putting really good grassroots candidates in office. And it looks like there's a citizens' uprising happening in Manatee County. And it started a couple of years ago with the Long Bar Point opposition movement, but it's mushroomed into a much larger movement than just the battle for that piece of property on the bay. This movement consists of all kinds of people and from all different political interests all over the county, because the same decisions that are being made out on the coast are being made inland and everywhere else. They're tearing up our wetlands. They're making decisions that, you know, are going to just crush our county and crush the way of life that we have here and ruin what makes this county so precious and desirable for people from other states to come and live. So, you know, we've got to do something, and I'm really excited about the citizens' uprising, and I really hope that over the next year the momentum continues to build and build into something that can cause candidates for all the different districts in the county to come forward and put these pay-to-play politicians out of business. Mitch, how you doing? Have you gotten through with Valerie?
I did. There's actually technicians at our tower right now. And,
all right.
They say it's
that may
be...
help our broadcast. It may not. Depends on how fast they work and what the problem is, I guess.
They expect about another 20 minutes for a clear signal, but it's breaking up. If you're listening on 1490 AM, if you're listening to the broadcast, it is breaking up. If you are listening through Blog Talk Radio, it's not breaking up. You should be getting a strong signal. And how do you find that? You go to itsyourgavel.com. Just go to itsyourgavel.com, and there's a link. Actually, it's a couple. There's a few places on that page you can click. You just click there, and you should be able to then listen to the stream. Or you can
click. I want to read another comment. This is a comment by David Allen Johnson of Palmetto, Florida. This is a comment below this January 10th article in the Bradenton Times, which is an online circular, bradentontimes.com. Excellent, excellent paper, an alternative to this mullet wrapper we have that's called the Bradenton Herald. Anyway, the bradentontimes.com, David Allen Johnson posting. Here's what he wrote about last week's land use decision. As a 24-year resident living less than a mile from this planned abomination, I have seen traffic quadruple on 69th Street East without any widening of the road. Still no bike lanes, and I've seen two rollover accidents in the last months within 1/2 mile of this, one being directly where this is planned. Traffic actually comes to a stop now where the schools are starting and letting out. Complete gridlock both direction. Try it sometime and you'll see. Add a few thousand more cars, which is what the development approval they did last week calls for. With only one way in and out, this is a recipe for a disaster, not to mention that both schools are at 140% capacity right now. How can the commissioners approve something like this when they don't even have the facts straight? Commissioner Whitmore said several times, referring to the Sysco Distribution Center as Sitco, not Sysco, where you get bread and milk. Talk about clueless. Thanks to the unbiased investigative reporting of the Bradenton Times and John Real, at least some people will see what's really going on behind council doors. It's pitiful. I mean, their decisions are putting people's lives at risk, children's lives at risk. This has got to stop.
It's just a 69th Street. It's not a wide two-lane road, it's designed for local traffic, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not
So, you know, they just continue to approve and approve and approve.
All right, we have a caller.
Disregard. Let's see who it is.
Oh, I know who it is. Welcome to the call, Lawrence.
Hello?
You're live on the air, Lawrence.
Can you hear me? Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we able to talk about national and international news, or is your show limited to local yokel stuff?
What do you have in mind?
Well, I would like to talk about the absence of our president in Paris. What do you think about that? I'd like to talk about that. And you know where our president was yesterday. Don't you?
Lawrence?
Well, it appears that he was at the White House meeting with the San Antonio Spurs with a celebration of that basketball team.
Well, that was probably one of many meetings he has. He doesn't spend the whole day.
Right, but he wasn't in Paris with all the other 40-plus international people. You're interrupting me, Mitch. You're interrupting me.
A question, and you want me to answer?
Yeah, and you won't let me finish. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll share what I think. And Lawrence,
yeah, go ahead. Tell me what you think.
Lawrence, I happen to agree with you. I think that the President of the United States should have been in Paris.
What about the Vice President?
I really do think.
What about the Vice President?
Well, I don't think that it's a good idea to have both the President and the Vice President.
No, I said, or
like
the Vice President. What about the Secretary of State?
Could have been any one of the three. I agree with you.
Well, but where were they? They were at the White House with the San Antonio Spurs.
Well, I don't know if... I doubt that that's all they were doing, Lawrence.
Well, it has nothing to do
with
whether they're all they're doing.
Lawrence, I agree with you, Lawrence.
In there. I happen to agree with you, Lawrence.
The Attorney General...
Well, what do you agree with? Do you agree that we have a feckless president that is in over his head, doesn't know what the hell he's doing?
No, I don't agree with that.
Well, I didn't think so.
Lawrence, let me finish. Just because the president or the vice president or the secretary of state was not in Paris.
Do you have your radio on in the background?
No.
To translate into their not knowing what they're doing. What it does say is that they didn't make a very good decision about sending one of themselves to Paris. I mean, it was a wrong move on their part, and it makes us look bad. But
well,
that does not mean that they do not know what they're doing.
Oh, yes, it does. It most certainly does. Do you know what feckless means? Have you ever looked up the word feckless?
Hey, I'm a literature major. It means incompetent. And I do not believe that these men are incompetent. They would not have gotten to where they are in their own personal lives today if they were incompetent individuals and were incompetent with what they do. And, you know, I worked for the Department of Defense for 5 years, and you know, a lot of the problems that take place are the result of bad intelligence that gets funneled up to the top. And I know that because I have worked in military intelligence, and I've seen how that happens. And that happens regardless of who is president. Now. But in terms of, you know, public relations and how we look in the eyes of the world, I really wish that one of the three, either Kerry or Biden or Obama, would have been there. And I happen to agree with you on that count, but that does not mean that they are feckless.
All right. I want to say something. Lawrence, and I'm going to bring you back, but Lawrence, I muted your phone, then I brought you back, then I muted your phone, and there's an echo. When I mute your phone, there is no echo, so you must have a radio or a show on in the background. So either you have to leave the room you're in, or you need to turn that down. So please do so. And I want to agree with Lawrence partly, that it was an era that somebody high-ranking from the administration wasn't there. But also I want to step back and look at the whole situation. First of all, the French and the Europeans aren't really upset. The right wing in this country is upset. And some of the left-wing commentators, when you read, are like, yeah, why weren't you there? So, on a scale, did we invade Iraq? Was that a mistake? Or did a high-ranking official not appear in a parade in Paris? You know, what's the magnitude there? Number two, you got to look at, really, what occurred? You know, how much notice was given? You know, when I was reading in the Israeli press, Netanyahu did not have much leeway. He didn't have much leeway and much time to get there. Matter of fact, and to his credit, and I think he did the right thing, he wasn't really invited to come. But he came, and I'm glad he did. And I think he made the right decision. And I'm glad that the PLO leader who runs the West Bank, Dr. Gaza, was there. And his name is just slipping my mind right now, Boss, I think his name is. But nevertheless, to get the president from Washington to Paris versus getting the leadership of European countries to Paris is a whole different logistic scenario here. You know, to get them from Paris and Italy and Germany and England, it's not a big haul. Europe, especially Western Europe, is a lot smaller than the United States of America. So to get those leaders there is not as big of a deal as getting one of ours. Now, we had our attorney general was in Paris, and he's supposed to be having meetings, and I have a feeling, and the rumor out there is that the people that he was having meetings with were probably at the parade at the time. Why didn't he show up to the parade? That, I think, was a huge error. Why didn't we get John Kerry there? He's our Secretary of State, or the Vice President there, or even the President. Were we logistically able to get him there or not? Is there security concerns that we were not aware of? I'm not really sure. I do think even with those questions, I think our Attorney General should have been present. I think maybe John Kerry or the Vice President should have been there if the President couldn't have made it. And in the big picture, I think the act of terrorism that occurred in Paris is a much bigger issue. And if you watch Fox News and listen to Rush Limbaugh and the rest of these right-wing talking heads, they're making a much bigger deal out of whether the president or a high-ranking official from the administration was there or not than the actual act of terrorism that occurred in Paris this past week. And for that, you know, where are their priorities? And look at Lawrence. Lawrence doesn't bring up, hey, look what happened, by the way, you know, would have been nice. No, Lawrence, you think it's the major issue of the day. There you go. And I'll bring you back, Lawrence. And hopefully you're not echoing. There is an echo.
Okay, so?
So do you have something on in the background, Lawrence? Are you on speaker?
No, I do not. For the third time, do not. Do not.
Are you on your speakerphone?
Hey, Mitch. You want to have a call-in show, let me comment, okay?
You're an
apologist. You and your buddy there and your ilk are just apologists. It was more than appalling of our feckless president and administration for not having somebody there.
Right.
And you're an apologist. And do you know of any other major apologists in this world in recent history that I brought up in the past?
I didn't apologize for the administration.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
There was no one in Paris, and you're telling everyone, well, he had other things to do. He had to meet with the basketball team, and Joe Biden, he was putting plugs in his hair, and, it was an embarrassment.
But
Lawrence,
the basketball team was, what, 15, 20 minutes out of his day, Lawrence?
Yeah, so he could have taken a four-hour trip and been there.
4 hours? Really? He could have just said, hey, we're going to Paris, and been there in 4 hours.
Yes, he could have. But
yeah.
That's okay, Mitch. Let's argue about how fast the jet flies. Versus the feckless, Hey, Mitch.
Now you're interrupting me. There's a lot more to getting the president to a rally on a parade and have a secure route than Air Force One, let's go. You know, I got a jet at my disposal. Let's just go. There's a lot more to it. But Eric Holder was there. And for that, I'm curious why. All right. So anyway, here you go back.
An apologist!
Mitch.
Yeah, let me talk to the intellectual one. Is she there?
I'm here.
Thank you. I know you're the co-host, and he won't let you talk. I appreciate the opportunity.
I didn't squelch her mic.
Yes, you do. Yes, you did. Yes, you are.
No, all right, Lawrence. That's it.
All right.
Terry, I think anything else Lawrence has to say is just getting redundant. So.
Yeah, well, you know, Lawrence, I conceded something to you. I agreed with you that it was wrong that nobody showed up. You know, no one high level at any rate. And, but you know what? It does not translate into their being incompetent. They, you know, they made a public relations mistake by not being there. And, you know, we understand the importance of symbolism and theater in political affairs. And on that note, you're right. It was, you know, wrong of them to not participate in the symbolism and the theater of that moment. But, again, that does not mean that they are doing things the wrong way. I happen to think that political life, international affairs, especially problems with terrorism, are just a lot more complex than what, most people are able to take in 60-second sound bites. And what I see on every news program, whether it's left-wing, right-wing, or something in between, is just a lack of substance and an unwillingness or an inability, perhaps, with some people to be able to approach things in a manner that is constructive and that is substantive. And this is my trouble with you, Lawrence. You don't want to delve into the complexity of things with us. And I have trouble having a dialogue with someone like you who does not want to deal with complexity and would rather just, you know, call people names. Let's go farther than that. Let's stop calling people names and let's talk about the complexity of what's going on in our lives and in the world all around us. Why can't you do that with us, Lawrence?
All right. Before we're gonna get back to Lawrence, but I want to shift gears a little bit, Terry. And if there's people down at the Manatee County Commission meeting right now, we'd love to hear from you. And the number, and if anyone would like to call, the number is 347-989-0132. I understand that that we're coming across a lot more clearly through 1490 AM. Give us a call, 347-989-0132. You know what I'd like to talk about real quick? There's a group out there. They're called Anonymous. And they've been around a while, and they like to do cyber attacks on people and institutions they don't like, so some of which I'm against some of their practices. But they have basically declared war on ISIS the last few days. Matter of fact, they've been hacking in to many of the Al-Qaeda's websites. They hack into the websites, and then they post all the different websites out there and in various locations where they communicate with all their hacker community, which may or may not just be within the United States, but maybe worldwide. And they're giving instructions on how to hack in and really cause a lot of trouble for ISIS. And they basically, in the last few days, have declared war on ISIS. And I find this interesting because I find some parallels here, like ISIS and Al-Qaeda that have these websites up and that are trying to get into the heads of young Muslims throughout the world and radicalize these Muslims and turn them into terrorists, which may be what happened here. We're not sure if these two brothers and there are other two accomplices, or the one guy who went in there and shot and killed four Jewish patrons at the Jewish deli. We don't know if they have been coordinated. We don't know that yet, back with Al-Qaeda. They say they're affiliated with Al-Qaeda, not ISA. They're sympathetic to ISA, but there is a rivalry going on in the world between ISA and Al-Qaeda, and they use a lot of the similar tactics, and they're reaching out to the Muslim community. Well, Anonymous is reaching out to their community, many of which they don't even know each other, and they're saying this is what we need to do to disrupt them on the World Wide Web. And right now they are hacking and they're preventing ISA and Al-Qaeda's websites from functioning fully. And I think it's great. And they're using very similar tactics. They're Anonymous. Well, that's their name. They're out there somewhere. They're broadcasting through cyberspace. And they're giving instructions to people who would affiliate with Anonymous. And they probably don't know each other, but they're communicating and broadcasting. And Terry, do you have a comment you'd like to make regarding that?
Yeah, well, I'm glad Anonymous is conducting its affairs like this right now, and really targeting the bad guys. I worked at CENTCOM for a little while, and at one point while I was there, there were Anonymous leaflets that had been strewn in the parking lot on MacDill Air Force Base. That was a little troubling to us. And we don't know if it was a joke or if it was really Anonymous on our base, but it's nice to see them redirecting their energy toward the real bad guys, which would be the Islamic State. I hope they target some of these other groups. Al-Qaeda is the parent group of ISIS. Islamic State started in Iraq after the death of Musab al-Zarqawi, who was the original leader of Al-Qaeda, first in Iraq, then it became Al-Qaeda of Iraq. And when we dropped a big bomb on Zarqawi in 2006, the current leader of what is now known as Islamic State took over. His name is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and so ISIS, this thing called Islamic State, didn't start yesterday, and it is an offshoot of Al-Qaeda, and actually Al-Qaeda of Iraq under Zarqawi had some contentious relationships with Al-Qaeda. But the bottom line is that Al-Qaeda may have differences, but on the larger issues, they are in agreement. Their program is all about expansion. Their whole program is, by any means necessary, let us reconquer areas of the Islamic world that Islam had conquered in the past. That's what they believe, and that is one of their goals. And you can see by where these Al-Qaeda and ISIS-affiliated groups in the world are operating that they are really maneuvering around in these countries that formed the perimeter of the Islamic world at its widest point of expansion. And, of course, Western powers they regard as an enemy.
The widest, wouldn't that include Spain? And didn't they have Southern Europe at one point?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And Spain has had problems with terrorism in its borders in recent years. And Southern Europe, France, of course. Some will remember that one of the original ideas for flying airplanes into tall objects prior to the 9/11 attacks was actually a plan for flying a plane into the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And then the plan evidently got redirected. And they decided to target our World Trade Center and some of our other government buildings instead in the United States.
In the last few days, the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda are threatening the U.S. GIs. They're claiming, we know who you are. We know who your families are. We know who your credit is. We're going to steal your identity. We're going to come after your families, both physically and through cyber warfare.
Well, they hacked CENTCOM yesterday.
Well, if I'm a troop in Iraq right now, or if I'm a soldier anywhere, U.S. soldier anywhere, and Al-Qaeda's throwing this propaganda out there saying, you know, through cyber warfare, we're identifying all current U.S. servicemen, and we're going to create havoc in your lives, including threatening your families. And you've been affiliated with the military. I mean, how does that bode well for morale?
Well, I actually think that, you know, the people in the military I knew, when they're threatened with something like that, their attitude is just try it, you know. And of course, and along with, you know, yeah, just try it, they're very smart, sensible people. And they practice operational security, and they teach their wives and their children operational security. Most people in the military that I know of all rank and file are pretty knowledgeable about these things, and then they take measures to protect themselves. And because I was in an unclassified program, and I've had threats to my life in Iraq, and it's not like I'm an unknown commodity. I wasn't operating secretly. I think about these things every day. When I'm out in the yard and I see the a strange car roll down my street while I'm out front in one of my vegetable patches, I take note of that car, and I take down the tag number. Anytime I see strange vehicles around, and I try to be aware of patterns. And most people I know who have been involved with counterterrorism and anti-terrorism activities are aware of these things, and they teach their family and their wives and their families accordingly how to live with terrorism. And with the possibility of these kinds of things. And, you know, some of us are just vigilant all the time.
Right. Well, it just seems like the war between Al-Qaeda, the Islamic State, and the West is heating up, not calming
down. It's personal.
And that's
what... You know, it is personal for them. And, you know, we had, when in Iraq, during the Awakening Movement, when we were working with the tribal fighters to fight Al-Qaeda, and suppress the Al-Qaeda insurgency, we worked very closely with people in Iraq and all these villages in Anbar province and Diyala and all around the belt around Baghdad. And the people in these areas, the sheikhs and their communities, we developed very close relationships with them. And we stood up Saddam's police, a police force that had been just decimated under Saddam. And some of these tribal leaders were appointed to be police chiefs. And over the past 5 years, with the SOFA agreement and the drawdown of forces, you lose situational awareness, and suddenly, you know, your district police commanders, who also happen to be tribal leaders, get assassinated. And they're targeted because they worked with us. And why were they working with us? Because they were working with us to fight people that they called the mean guys. They actually had another term that they used called, that started with the word B, a two-syllable word, which I don't think I can say on the radio, to refer to Al-Qaeda. And so Al-Qaeda's going to hurt them. And, you know, they may very well, these people, these villages that they've taken over again, they may very well have information about who was working with them at the time, which Americans were working in those areas. They acquire access to this kind of information. When they take over a police station or an area, they're doing documents exploitation. So you don't know what they have in terms of, you know, other people's computer equipment, cell phone equipment, and everything else. And this is the nature of war and fighting an asymmetrical actor like Al-Qaeda or Islamic State or any of the other ones that are operating in the world today.
So we have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back after this.
Legal Shield. We're proud to offer Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium, a top-of-the-line identity theft protection and restoration plan. Identity theft affects millions of Americans each year. That's why Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium provides you with the information and expertise to protect your identity and resolve issues related to identity theft. Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium offers powerful, proactive monitoring of your credit information, so you'll rest assured that your identity is always being protected. Stay covered with benefits like Triple Bureau Credit Monitoring, with constant monitoring of your Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax credit files on a secure website, as well as email alerts about any activity on your credit file. WebWatcher, with daily monitoring for unauthorized use of your Social Security number, credit and debit card numbers, and other personal information across the Internet. And Public Persona, with monthly monitoring of any changes involving your Social Security number or address history associated with your identity. In addition, you'll always have secure web access to your credit report and a detailed analysis of your personal credit score. The plan also offers several premium benefits on request, like lost wallet assistance, to help you cancel and replace cards and IDs, place temporary fraud alerts, and more in the event your wallet or purse is ever lost or stolen. Social Security number skip trace, a search that detects potential fraud by searching your Social Security number in over 34 billion current public records, and even a sex offender search to see if your address has been used by a registered sex offender. In the unfortunate event that you are ever the victim of identity theft, we've partnered with Kroll Advisory Solutions, an industry leader in security and risk mitigation, to provide a comprehensive restoration of your identity to what it was before the breach occurred. Dedicated licensed investigators at Kroll Advisory will perform comprehensive restoration services such as sending fraud alerts to all three national credit repositories, correcting identity theft issues with affected banks, credit card companies, law enforcement agencies, and other institutions, and working for as long as it takes to restore your identity. Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium also allows you to contact Kroll Advisors as often as you like to speak about anything related to identity theft, ensuring you'll always have an identity theft expert on your side. Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium covers you and your spouse, but the Special Safeguard for Minors service will protect all of your dependents under the age of 18 for just $1 more per month. Safeguard for Minors includes valuable information on credit education for minors, advice on the best uses of a child's Social Security number, and monitoring and alerts for the existence of any credit files in your child's name. And your dependents will be eligible for identical consultation and restoration services from Kroll Advisory Solutions. You can purchase this coverage for only $24.95 a month. Coverage includes you and your spouse with Special Safeguard for Minors protection for up to 8 dependents under the age of 18 for an additional $1 more per month. And if you add legal protection for your family, you can get Identity Theft Premium Plan for just $19.95 per month. Do the math and choose to give your family access to these legal and identity services today for a total of only $36.95 a month. Only with Legal Shield. Worry less, live more.
Worry less, live more. Actually, I need to update that with the newer one because it's now you don't pay for your kids. The kids are now included. It's $19.95. We have another version of our identity theft that's only $9.95 with our membership, and our membership here in Florida is as little as $17 a month for our legal plan. And if you want more information, go to malletagency.com, M-A-L-L-E-T-T-A-G-E-N-C-Y LegalShield.com. It will redirect you right into the Legal Shield server. You'll see my picture, Mitch Mallett. I'm an independent associate with Legal Shield up in the upper left-hand corner. I'll be smiling. And all the links and everything you need to know about Legal Shield is right there. So with that said, I also want to do a shout-out to Arrow Environmental Services. You can go to arrowservices.com. You can give them a call at 941-981-4331. And Arrow offers residential pest control, commercial pest control for termites, roaches, bedbugs, ants, rodents, as well as many other pests. Arrow offers lawn services, including tree and shrub care, irrigation, tap insulation, and our very own TLC, Total Landscape Care Solution. Our company, Arrow Environmental, has set the standard for service, innovation, customer satisfaction, and Arrow looks forward to doing the same for you. Arrow's Peace of Mind pledge promises that Arrow will retreat any problem until you are completely satisfied with the results, or Arrow will refund the cost of your treatment. Go to arrowservices.com. You'll find a coupon there, free quotes, 941-981-4331. And let's go back to Terry. Terry.
Yeah.
Have you heard from what's going on in the county commission?
No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on down there. I guess we'll have a little situation report to give on Thursday about what happened. I hope they showed up. I hope they followed through with what they intended to do, because what they intended, their intentions were honorable things.
That's Lawrence clicking there.
We can only hope.
Time right
that
now.
That they really, really did what they wanted to do. I'd like, as an update for the mangroves, I'm going to be at the Planning Commission on Thursday talking about the destruction to the mangroves out on Palmasola Boulevard.
Yeah, we talked about that on Thursday.
And I found out something yesterday. I went to a Sierra Club conservation meeting, and there was another man at the Sierra Club who said that there was a property owner over in his area on Warner Bayou in Manitoba.
90 AM, WWPR, Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa Bay.
All right, we're out of here, Terry. Thank you.
You're welcome. See you Thursday.
We'll be back on Thursday. 800